I must be the special guest host here, I guess. So here I am, special guest hosting for Bobby Mack. He's got the week off, although a best of Bobby Mack will be gracing these airwaves on Thursday. But the rest of the week, just me. Just me at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. So the Democrats are going to have in the neighborhood of 232 House seats in the new House. They'll be in charge, and they will be certainly investigating right and left. Robert Mueller, who we keep hearing might be winding things up any decade now, might as well just hand his files over to Adam Schiff, the new Intelligence Committee chair, and Jerry Nadler, the new Judiciary Committee chair, and we can keep this mindless, pointless, and virtually defendantless probe going congressionally, if not judicially. But through it all, of course, is the question of who's going to be the next speaker. Well, the Democrats and the Democratic leader in the House, of course, is Nancy Pelosi. And so it's Nancy Pelosi, except that there are some Democrats. This will tell you all you need to know about the new Democratic majority in the House. For some Democrats, Nancy Pelosi is just a little too conservative. I'll let that sink in. What did he say? What did he say? For some Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and any establishment Democrat is just a little too conservative. So I want you to just absorb that for a second here. We're going to also take note of the caravan that's wending its way north. It's now 4:09 at 106.3 WORD as we turn to Mark in Traveler's Rest. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jimbo, how you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. Getting all set for Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. I did some shopping this morning. I thought that was interesting. You said Nancy's too conservative. That's a good one.
Yeah, but it's a fact. I mean, let's not forget that Dianne Feinstein's opponent this November was a Democrat in California who called her a little too conservative.
I guess if you stack her up against Ocasio-Cortez, then yes, she would be uber conservative.
Yeah, yes. Yes, Alexandra Ocasio-Brainiac, yes. But go ahead, Mark.
So, okay, if we use the model of prohibition and the violence that was associated with the mobs that were importing alcohol and using the very weapons available at the time, then now you see that in these inner city areas where people are fighting for drug profits and they're using the best weapons that they can obtain, then I wonder if there's any room or any thought that legalization of drugs would be the answer, because with this war on drugs, we dump literally just hundreds of billions of dollars in the war, in the prosecution, in the incarceration of people. And if you simply take the profit out of it, like they did with alcohol, then the violence goes away, and then you don't have this direct opposition of people of color that are strongly involved in drug trafficking and inner city areas and law enforcement, which is probably one of the major rubs I would say that we have right now between law enforcement and, let's say, the black community. And if instead of spending all that money in prosecuting a war against citizens of our country, we've used that money to teach our children and teach people and to use it as rehab instead of basically prosecuting a war against our own citizens.
I would agree to a point that certainly the war on drugs, as it is being fought currently, is largely ineffective and in some cases, as you note, counterproductive. Certainly the war on marijuana you can forget about. In fact, at some point during this week, I'm going to ask people, are you all ready for recreational and medical marijuana in South Carolina? Because you'd better get used to the notion that it's going to be everywhere in this country in not too many years. Marijuana on the one hand, and a host of other things on the other hand, meth, PCP, heroin, I'm sorry, some drugs effectively turn people into unproductive zombies, and then we're supposed to pay for them? No, if in fact we decided to go down that route and let those people kill themselves, then that would be one thing.
Go ahead, but my
thought is that marijuana and other drugs are two different categories. Go ahead.
Let me agree with you in that, but then I would go further and suggest that any of the amount of interdiction that we've done and it attempts to curtail the presence or availability of those drugs, the hard drugs that you're talking about, it did only one thing. It created violence. It pushed people into the shadows of doing this, where they're reusing needles and they're contracting drugs. I would say that regardless of what we do, whether we legalize it or keep it illegal, we have the exact same ramifications, with the sole exception of the fact that we are waging a war and we are marginalizing people that, if we gave them resources, could possibly pull them out of that dark place. That's what I believe.
And I could go along with that. I would say offer this as a guideline. Anytime a certain practice is accepted by a large enough percentage of the population, trying to prohibit that is pointless. Certainly it was true with alcohol in the 1920s, and yes, it created a criminal class which is still in existence to this day, although not as bad today as it had been in some other years. Marijuana has certainly reached that point. Other drugs, I would say, have not. But yes, beyond a certain level of public acceptance, prohibition simply creates disrespect for law and order, and I would concur with that. Anybody who thinks that the war on marijuana was worth fighting, forget it. That war is over. And get used to legal marijuana, recreational, medical, smoke it, snort it, rub it on your belly, stick it in granny's brownies. It's coming. I will concede that. So, is Mark still with us? I'll take it that Mark is not. In any event, no, Mark makes a very, very important point. Yeah, the war on drugs, certainly to the extent that something has become an acceptable practice, it's pointless to wage such a war. I would concur completely. In regards to those other drugs, of which public acceptance is not nearly that high, quite frankly, I hope somebody in this country is working on genetic mutations, specifically viruses, which will attack the coca plant and the opium poppy. And that these things simply be sprayed aerially, maybe with drones, what have you, and wipe out these plants off the face of the planet. That would be one thing. And yes, all of the other things that was mentioned by Mark, including rehabilitation and the like, I'm for that. But I am not in favor of what I would call a subsidized zombie state in which a minority of us support the rest of us who decide to take a free ride. Now, no, marijuana does not lead to that. I've seen the movie Reefer Madness, and yes, it's pretty stupid. But, we can continue this line of thoughts. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3. The time is 4:15. Thanks for being with us today. 4:21 is the time. I was so hoping we would come out of that break at 4:20, since that's a code word for the use of marijuana. But be that as it may, 4:21, and good to have you with us this afternoon. Jimbo for Bobby Mack today. The rest of the week, except for a Best of Bob on Thanksgiving Day. Let's see, we got Bruce calling in from Greenville this afternoon. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, you know, I know that I'm talking to one of the most intelligent audiences here in the upstate. So I'm going to say this, and let's look at it with this lens. Back during the Clinton administration, Clinton went in and he said, you know, how can we curtail this, you know, cocaine epidemic? Well, when he did some investigating, he found out that, wow, lo and behold, you can't just go into the forest and bake up some baking soda and a few chemicals and make some cocaine. There are stringent protocols that have to be followed and chemicals that have to be acquired from medical pharmaceutical companies. As a matter of fact, those pharmaceutical companies have went so far as to make four-lane highways into the jungle. If we wanted to curtail, in this case we're just focusing on cocaine, if we wanted to the cocaine epidemic, we could stop it in one fell swoop. But because these huge pharmaceutical companies are out there and they're making a profit from it, and then on the other end, you've got the federal government and all these agencies that are out there fighting this war on drugs. They're making a profit from it. And please, everybody, do your research. It's out
now, just
there.
A minute. I got to ask you something about Bruce. Are you suggesting that the big legitimate pharmaceutical companies, like, well, just to pose the question before I get the answer, are you suggesting that the big legitimate pharmaceutical companies like the Pfizer's and the like are behind the illegal cocaine trade?
They I've always heard that they're out for our best interest, but you know.
Well, no, I don't know. I'm not aware that anybody has ever linked legitimate drug companies about whom we can make many complaints agreed against the legitimate drug companies, but I was not aware of any evidence linking them to the illegal drug trade.
Yeah, please, absolutely.
Well, no,
everybody
I'm really asking you. It's not a please. I'm really asking you. Is there some evidence?
No. The research is there, so.
Well okay. It's like what? Like what?
Well, if you go back to the 90s and you follow it, there's articles and all kinds of stuff on the internet about Merck, Pfizer, the big pharmaceutical companies, and how that the Clintons actually, and I'm not a big Clinton fan, don't get me wrong, but he actually went in to curtail this cocaine trade, and that's where what he found, and that's where it got left.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't really buy into that particular notion that the big drug companies, for all of their flaws, and goodness knows there are many of them, have ever been legitimately linked to the illegal drug trade. Yes, there are places in the jungle where you can find major roads that have been built into the jungle, and yes, we could interdict and we could destroy those factories, and yes, that would be a great idea. But the notion that the Pfizers and the Mercks and the like are not making enough money off of the rest of us, that they're engaged in this kind of activity, is, as far as I'm concerned, totally unproven.
And I would definitely say that to say that is a stretch. You know, most people would think that. But
well, yes.
I think there's enough out there.
Barring evidence, yes. I certainly haven't heard anything, Bruce. I'm sorry. Nothing legit. Sorry,
okay.
I just haven't seen it.
Well, definitely, I hope some audience members check it out, and have a great one.
Well, yeah, indeed. Thanks very much. Again, you would not find any slack being cut for major. If you found such a linkage between, say, a major drug company like that and the cocaine trade, are you kidding me? You would find major executives heading for hard time, serious hard time. So... Toby calls in this afternoon from Clinton, I believe. Hello, Toby.
Hey, Jimbo, how's it go?
Oh, it goes well, thank you.
That's good. And before I start, I hope you and Miss Bunny Penny have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving.
We are absolutely doing that. We're going to be roasting marshmallows a bit later.
That sounds great. my question is this, and I know you've kind of pondered this a while. I was listening to the show last week, where they say Donald Trump is actually going to try to give Nancy Pelosi all the help he can for her to become Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And I'm like, has he been smoking something or
no?
What's wrong with him?
Toby, that's brilliant. Let me explain the rationale behind what the president said. A Democrat is going to be the next Speaker of the House, okay? There are going to be impeachment votes and all kinds of investigations that are pointless. That's going to happen. A Republican is not going to be Speaker of the House. It is going to be either Nancy Pelosi or some new face. And new faces don't have baggage, and sometimes they turn out to be attractive, like Barack Obama. But if you saddle the Democrats for the next 2 years with Nancy Pelosi as their leading elected official, with the baggage she's got, I think it's brilliant. And I think that there ought to be a deal worked out, Toby, so that when we come to voting time, that Republicans, as they go down the roll call, if Nancy is in danger of not being elected, yes, a deal should be worked out with some of those Republicans to say, yeah, they're going to vote for Nancy and stick the Democrats with Nancy Pelosi for 2 years. I think it is brilliant.
So it's better the enemy you know than the one you don't know.
Well, not just that I know, but it's the enemy I know who happens to be a major poster child for everything wrong with the Democrats. I think it's brilliant. I guarantee you that Nancy Pelosi as Speaker is going to help the Democrats help the Republicans come 2020. I guarantee it.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, sure, I'm not in favor of Nancy Pelosi per se, but I'd rather have Nancy Pelosi than I would some new face who doesn't have all the baggage attached thereto.
That's... you need all. Mm-hmm. I was just curious. I figured you might know.
Well, yeah, that's the reasoning, and again, the president didn't explain that, but that's the reasoning, and I happen to subscribe to it. Now, if there was any chance of making a Republican speaker, then I would be happy to do that. There isn't. It'll be a Democrat, but I want it to be somebody who is a drag on Democrats. I want it to be somebody whom voters can look at as, oh, her again? Maybe it's time I stop voting for Democrats. That's who I want. Yes, it's got to be a Democrat, so please, please, please let it be Nancy, Toby.
Well, does she pretty much have the teeth? I mean, since they're good, well, put the Democrat in, does it look good for her to get it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think that she's going to need a single a vote of a Republican. I don't think so. I think that enough Democrats will vote for her that she's got it. I'm just simply saying that if there's any question that the Republicans should put her over the top. That's what I'm saying.
See, I was thinking, like, you know, since she's already had the job once before, the Democrats, well, you know, see what she done the last time we had her? Do we really want to put her in there? How about another Democrat besides her?
Well, I mean, she's got a lot of power. She's campaigned for a lot of Democrats who are in Congress right now. Had Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker or the Democratic leader, whatever she was at the time, come into their district, make speeches for them, raise money for them. A lot of Democrats feel they owe Nancy a lot. I think she's going to have the votes without Republicans. But the president, I think, is smart to absolutely say that if it gets down to the end of the roll call and it looks like she might not get 218 votes, yes, Republicans should put her over the top. I think to stick the Democrats with Nancy for two more years would be beautiful. Anyway, I'm going to pause here briefly, but good point, Toby. Yeah, and I think the president's called it right. Jimbo for Bobby Mac, 106.3 WORD. It's 429. Yep, that's what I'm doing. Pinch hitting here this afternoon at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and, of course, 106.3WORD.com. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And texters out there here... Jim, where is all the evidence linking the drug companies to selling the drug cartels' chemical components to make coke? That's insane. Now, in the 60s and 70s, some chemical companies sold some base chemicals to South American shell companies. That ended up in the wrong hands. Those days are long gone. As I understand it, that did happen. That in some chemical, and by here we're talking chemical companies now. Not pharmaceutical companies, chemical companies like, let's say, a Monsanto, for example, which just simply deals in, quote, chemicals, not refined prescription and other types of drugs for human consumption. I believe that is correct. They did sell, they were sloppy in selling such chemicals. But I got from the caller, the impression I got was he was suggesting that that the big drug companies, the Mercks and Pfizer's and the like were hand in glove with the cartels in selling cocaine and heroin and the like. I have never seen evidence to that effect. Would they? Probably not. I mean, when you're making billions hand over fist by the law, why even bother? Why take the risk? Would they have moral compunctions about it? Probably most of them. But short of evidence to that effect, I would be questionable. But now, chemical companies, yes, as I understand it, chemical companies have not always been that careful about selling things which, in fact, could so be used. But I haven't heard about it, certainly recently. Let's see here. Who created cocaine to start? Well, I believe it was medicine. Cocaine originally, I believe, was a medicine. If you go back to the days, for example, when Coca-Cola came along, it was touted as being beneficial because it contained cocaine. I'm not sure how much it actually contained, but it was touted as a beneficial chemical. That's true. Of course, I can remember those days with the cocaine. That goes back to the 19th century and the origins of Coca-Cola. I can recall in my youth. doctors, medical doctors, endorsing various brands of cigarettes. So that wouldn't be totally unheard of. Let's see here. Big Jim says this sector, cannabis should be available for chronic pain. Morphine and such works great for a few weeks, and the benefits are hit and miss. Cannabis has a more sustainable track record long-term. Unrelenting pain makes some of us suicidal. George in Malden. There's no doubt about the fact that cannabis has some power to reduce pain. I've never seen studies or even looked that deeply into how effective, in fact, cannabis is in terms of pain relief. For example, you're talking about morphine. Morphine is the kind of drug that can eliminate virtually any pain. I mean, you take enough morphine, and of course, you'll, among other things, be dead, but if you take enough morphine, you can eliminate virtually any pain. I've never heard that cannabis in any way, shape, or form was powerful enough to replace morphine. With morphine, I'm talking about people who may have, like, terminal cancer or something, in which case you don't care if they become addicted. All you're trying to do is help them to their grave with the least amount of pain. Morphine, as it is used in hospitals, is for people who are going to die real soon, and they can either die with a relative lack of pain or with unremitting agony, and that's the main use of morphine. So to the extent that cannabis is a pain reliever, I have no problem with it being used in such a way. I've got no serious problem with the legalization process. Certainly, I don't go along the lines of people who say, marijuana cures everything. Yeah, cures halitosis, cures dandruff, cures cancer, whatever. No, that's just nonsense, especially the claims about cancer. I mean, I'll guarantee you, heavy marijuana smokers have gotten more cancer than they've ever cured just from holding smoke in your lungs like that. I don't think that using it is to society's benefit, frankly. And for those who want to know, yes, I have. It's been probably 30 or 40 years, and I don't think I ever used marijuana more than 3 times, and probably had a really bad grade of marijuana, George Carlin used to call Toledo window boxes. It never did much for me. I remember smoking it, and you hold it in, and you hold it in, and then nothing. And that was back when I was ingesting a fair amount of gin, and I thought, gin will get me high. This stuff is nothing. So I never got into marijuana. But I've seen the movie Reefer Madness. If you really haven't, you should get it. It's available. You can download Reefer Madness about what supposedly marijuana use does, and it certainly doesn't. In fact, Reefer Madness refers to symptoms that frankly you could find in some drugs like PCP or meth or something, but not marijuana. For medicinal uses, no problem whatsoever. Recreational, it's going to happen, and I would just as soon it be taxed, quite frankly. But you can think about it. If we legalize marijuana tomorrow, and it's going to happen in the not too distant future, if you legalize marijuana tomorrow, tax the daylights out of it. It's hard enough to get tax revenue anymore. So, yeah, I can see it coming. I don't consider that a wonderful breakthrough. Oh, we're free to toke up. It's just simply a reality. It is an activity which does not necessarily lead to other drug use, which doesn't turn you violent. No one on pot has ever become so violent that they held up a 7-Eleven. Okay, they may have shoplifted from 7-Eleven because they had the munchies, but no. It's coming, and as long as we tax it, I can live with that. So that's my take. But I'm just simply wondering, are you ready for that? Granted, South Carolina will probably be one of the last places, but it'll happen, and it'll happen. I'll bet you within 5 years, marijuana in any form is legal in this state. I could be wrong. All right, Jimbo for Bobby Mac, 106.3 WORD, 445. Oh, there we go with that legendary thing again. Okay, 10 minutes before 5 here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Glad that you have joined us this afternoon. where we have, of course, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. It's always fun. 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. Not sure how we got off into legalized marijuana, but it happened, and it's always a topic of considerable interest. And again, timely in that a number of states have moved in that direction, of course, just in the past election by state referendum. And you're going to see more. Its time has come. That doesn't make me happy, but I simply say that prohibiting it and the costs of the war on drugs are worse than what marijuana usage can bring about. Let's see here. What was one texture here? Oh, I'll find it here in a second here. Use of marijuana by youth under 25 whose brains have not fully developed that have a predisposition to mental illness have an 85% higher likelihood to suffer a psychotic break, most usually attributable to schizophrenia. That is according to Harvard Medical School. I cannot dispute your statement. It may be true. If so, it would be unfortunate. I would never encourage anyone to use marijuana. I merely note the societal cost of trying to prohibit it. It has reached the point where we are clogging our prisons and providing criminal records for huge percentages of people, and the cost of prohibition is simply worse than the usage. That's all I'm saying. I would never say that it's a good thing. But then again, a lot of people abuse alcohol. Not everybody, but a lot of people do. Let's see here. Texter says, I don't care if South Carolina is the only state that never legalizes recreational pot. There are many of us going to fight to the end. The problems will be widespread. The push of the benefits is just like Big Tobacco did last century. Listeners might want to research on Blunt Truth SC website. Blunt Truth SC website. I'm not in favor of its legalization. I will not vote for its legalization. But when it happens, as it inevitably will, it will shift resources away from a battle that is going to lose. In terms of decriminalization, we're at that point. Again, whenever a certain activity reaches a given level of public acceptance, further efforts at prohibition are pointless. You simply create disrespect for the law. You repeat the mistakes of alcohol prohibition in the 20s. So, for what it's worth. Here's a text that says, I'd like to have legalized marijuana just because I like the freedom to choose whether or not to use it, but just think of the decreased ambition in society. If everybody toked up all the time, that would be true. There are many very functional people out there who are occasional recreational users who still, in fact, manage to perform in high-intensity, highly focused jobs. In fact, I suppose the stress of such jobs is what drives many people to use marijuana. As I say, I've never done so. The chemical I used to abuse was alcohol. And, of course, it was a fool's errand to think that that made my life better. It didn't. Currently, I don't know, I may have, what is it? It's December, almost. It's November, 11th month of the year. Have I had 15 drinks this year? Maybe. That'd be about right, a little over one a month. And marijuana I haven't touched since the early 80s, something like that. All fades into memory. Heavier stuff. I was offered cocaine one time by a friend of mine in radio. Turned it down. Glad I did. And tobacco, I will not smoke somebody's baby cigar because I am an addict to tobacco, for what it's worth. So that's how I personally approach all of this. Okay, let's see here. Jim, concertina wire is a great deterrent on the southern border. It will mess you up. It's hard to cut through. Yes, it is hard to cut through, and it will mess you up. And yes, concertina wire, there were shots of them stringing that, and good for them. Exactly. That's a fairly passive defense. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You put up the wire, and then they have to try to come through it. No fun, no. Worse than any barbed wire you ever saw, concertina wire. That's true. I'm thinking of razor wire here, not just concertina wire. let's see here. Texter says, I'm a former drug addict, and I can tell you that I smoked pot from age 14 to age 27. Under no circumstances is marijuana a painkiller. I had one major surgery as a 17-year-old, and I was a Marine during all this time. I've had bumps and bruises and small broken bones, and I've had cuts, and never once did marijuana ever take away any of that pain. I don't think that, mostly the pain-killing aspects of marijuana come from smoking it. Again, I don't know. I don't use. And the only way I ever used marijuana was smoking it, and it wasn't as a painkiller. But I believe most of the pain-killing applications are in the form of tablets or some other oral ingestion. I don't believe that that the pain-killing applications are suggested for just lighting up, as far as I know. Anyway, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And another texter says, alcohol is as bad or worse of a drug than pot is. In terms of its negative effect on society, absolutely true, simply because of the much wider usage and the much wider abuse of alcohol. That is very true, absolutely. You want to look at people who die because of alcohol. Thousands die every year in this country because of alcohol, alcohol abuse. If you drink responsibly, I don't think that you could find very many statistics indicating that that's going to kill you. But if you drink in moderation, you don't drive or operate heavy machinery with while drinking and so on. And of course, we see the periodic studies indicating that a little red wine can be good for your heart. I have every day a small, and by this I'm talking about a couple of shots maybe, of red wine. And that's it. So, more to come, more grist for that mill out there, as we'll delve into this. But it's coming. I guarantee you the push is now nationwide, and you're going to see a major effort to legalize marijuana in all its forms in South Carolina. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 3 minutes now before 5 o'clock.